Praise the Lord. I want to say thank you to each person who helped with our VBS, our Vacation Bible School. You made it successful. I think we had a total of 72 or 3 kiddos, and we're just delighted, and taught them about the Word of God, taught them about Jesus Christ, and fed them some food. They got snow cones out of the food truck that was across the street over there. Thank you, everyone. You got to understand, it takes about 30, maybe 30 plus people to pull that kind of thing off. And I want to thank each and every one of you. So if you helped out with it, go ahead and pat yourself on the back. And thanks for bringing your kiddos. Don't hurt yourself now. patting yourself on the back. Hey, you know, this morning I want to talk to you about, I was praying the other day. And I said, Lord, do the things that only you can do. And then I felt, now, I felt the Holy Spirit quicken my heart. And he said, but I can do them through you. Us, not just me. Okay, I think most of you have been around long enough, you know that I don't think that I'm the only one that can do anything for God. You and I. His followers, he chooses to use us. And so then we have to get through this, right? Sometimes this is a trap, isn't it? But you don't know what I've done. You're right, I don't know what you've done. Maybe I do. Maybe I've done the same things. So I'm gonna try to take you through some scriptures here this morning to help. I wanna help you to realize that God can use you. Because throughout the scripture, he used people who were just ordinary people. Do you know that? And I just felt like God challenged me and said, you can do them as well because my Spirit's in you. And that's the reality of it, isn't it, church? And so look with me, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul writes here, he says, all praise to God, which we've done part of that, a little bit of that this morning, praise the Lord. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Did you catch that? God the Father, because of Jesus, has blessed you and me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Because we are united with Christ, because we're one with him. We sang that a while ago. Jesus, we believe in you, and I belong to you. Right? If you don't belong to Jesus, then there's a problem. It means you're still holding on, and you haven't given him control. But that's what he wants. Matter of fact, that's what he demands. But that's the process that we're all getting to, right? So, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and he wants to be able to use you in however he sees fit in different scenarios, in different places that you're going to be. That's pretty exciting, really. But so I want to take you, because of the trap of the mind, I want to take you, and we're going to look at a few different Bible characters, okay? Some of these individuals in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Moses. You guys know what Moses said when God called Moses and God said, Moses, I want you to go and I'm going to use you to set my people free. I want you to go to Pharaoh. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? And that's kind of some of the problems sometimes when God chooses and speaks to our hearts and says, hey, I want you to go and I want you to do this. And we're like, but God, can you really use me? Do you know me? And Moses was like, but God, I stutter. And God's like, I made the mouth, son. Do what I tell you to do. It basically was God's response. And so Moses is making up excuses. How many of us make up excuses so God doesn't use us? Don't raise your hands. We had a couple raise their hands. It's okay. We still love you. We'll pretend like we didn't see that. But as a matter of fact, we're all probably raising our hands because we probably all at times make an excuse for ourselves so we don't have to do what God just instructed us to do. Or the scripture, what the scripture shows us, and God helps us to see it and realize it, and we're like, yeah, but that's probably for Pastor Chad, not for me, right? I need you to understand something. I put on my pants just like you do, one leg at a time, right? We all do that. We're all in the same boat. And Moses says, who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I, God? Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I? And let's look at the next slide in verse 12. God answered, really, this is about all we need. I will be with you. I will be with you. Hallelujah. He's got to be the one doing it anyway, right? He's got to be the one doing it through us, but he still uses us. And God was going to do incredible things, and he went on to do incredible things in Egypt for his people, Israel. Remember those plagues? Those are some interesting things that happened. God said, I'll be with you, and this is your sign. He even gives Moses a sign that he was going to, that it's going to prove that I'm the one who sent you. You're going to end up being, after you bring the people out of Egypt, you'll worship at this very mountain. And wow, what a sign. We'll skip a few chapters. Exodus 14, verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, and this is, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. This is that when they are out of Egypt, all the plagues were finished, and they let them go. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, let Israel go. And so they took off, and they're at the Red Sea, right? They're standing at the edge of the Red Sea, and here comes the enemy. And the people are getting a little bit antsy, can't you imagine? Moses, Pastor, what are we going to do? And Moses is getting a little bit nervous too. Then the Lord, it says here, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Verse 16, God continues and he says, hey, Moses, go ahead and pick up your staff. I've already equipped you, son. Raise up your staff. Raise your hand over the sea. Divide the waters. So the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. God said, Moses, you do it. You're crying out to me, but I've appointed you to do it. Huh? How many of you can divide a sea? In ourselves, we cannot. But when God is in it, you can do it. And that's pretty interesting, huh? That's pretty amazing. You know what? That seems supernatural. That's part of the point. In our natural selves, we can't do a whole lot. Supernaturally, in other words, by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing you can't do. We can do all kinds of things because of the Holy Spirit in us. Hallelujah. Let's look at David. And you recall David, he was a young man when King Saul was the king. And King Saul had disobeyed God, and God was wanting to establish a new king. And so Samuel was the prophet, and he went, God called him and said, called the prophet and said, go to Jesse's house over in this community, and I've appointed one of his sons to be the king, the next king. And so Samuel does that, and he checks out the oldest ones first, and he's like, oh, this is surely the new king that God's appointing. And God said, uh-uh, not that one. Nope, not that one. He said, Samuel, remember, Samuel, you're looking on the outside. I look on the inside. And so he went through all the sons except for one, and he was out tending sheep. And Samuel said, Jesse, do you have any more sons? go get David. And so David runs back. So says in verse 13, so David stood there among his brothers. Samuel took the flask of olive oil and he poured, I'm sorry, he had brought and anointed David. He poured that over David's head and anointed him with that oil. And this, look at this. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Wow. And David is one of my, it's hard to have favorites, isn't it? But he's one of my favorite Bible characters. The guy did some incredible things. God used him to do some incredible things. David also did a couple of dumb things. But God still used David. That'll preach. If you do something dumb, get back up and move forward. Okay? Fail forward. Don't stay there. Don't stay in the mud and roll around in it any longer. You can get up and out of it and return to Christ and come back to Him and allow Him to forgive and redeem you. He did it with David. That's the Old Testament. Because David had a heart of repentance. He had a repentant heart. He was quick to say, "Oh, I'm a knucklehead. Lord, forgive me." Let's look also at Samson. Samson, I don't know that Samson was a bodybuilder like we always see. I think he probably just looked regular, but God used him to do supernatural feats. And so Samson was a judge of Israel, and God was using Samson to deliver his people from the Philistines. And he was, let's see here. It says in Judges chapter 15, verse 14. As Samson arrived at Lehi, the Philistines came shouting in triumph. But the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson. And he snapped the ropes on his arms as if they were burnt strands of flax. And they fell from his wrists. Samson was, God had given him this special strength that he could snap these ropes that he was tied up with. Okay, and matter of fact, let's look at the next verse, because God used him to help deliver his people from the Philistines. In verse 15, it says, then Samson found the jawbone of a recently killed donkey. He picked it up and killed 1,000 Philistines with it. Now, I'm in no way trying to give you permission to kill anybody, but relate now to the spiritual enemies, okay? And God used Samson to kill 1,000 of his enemies and to set his people free. Supernaturally. Wow. But I want to take you to another aspect of Samson's life. Anybody remember about Delilah? Oh, yeah. Delilah was Samson's girlfriend. And they were pretty hot together, evidently. But she was being used by her people, the Philistines. She was a Philistine, and they wanted her to trick him into telling how he gets his strength. And so he lied to her several times before he told her the truth. And the truth was that if his hair was cut, he would be no stronger than any ordinary man. And so he told her the truth. She had others come in and cut his hair. And then in verse 20 of Judges chapter 16, Delilah cried out, "Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." When he woke up, he thought, "I will do as before and shake myself free." He wasn't concerned about it. But look at this last line. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. Samson didn't realize that God had left him because he didn't care enough about the anointing on his life. He didn't realize it. He didn't notice that God was gone. Now, God still used him to impact the Philistines still yet down the road. But how tragic. So, church, I bring that up because God can use us. God can use you. Just cherish His Holy Spirit. Value what God is doing in your life. Give Him praise and give Him the credit for it. And you won't have to worry about not realizing that the Lord's going to leave you. That's not, he's not looking to leave us. As a matter of fact, he's looking to be with us. He's looking to lead us and he's looking to guide us. And he wants to use us supernaturally to show off. Pretty cool. So, you know, and another one is Gideon. It's not going to be on the screen, but Gideon, when an angel appeared to Gideon and said, "Hey, Gideon, hey, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon was like, looked over his shoulder like, "You got to be talking about somebody else. I'm terrified. I'm over here hiding out so the enemy doesn't see me." And God said, "No, you're a mighty man of valor. You're a mighty man. I'm going to use you." And he does. And he uses him with 300 men. Remember this story? Wow. Mind-blowing. Matter of fact, Gideon had like 10,000 men. And God says, "No, that's way too many. You need to get rid of them. You need to thin them out. Because that's, then you guys will think that you did it and you're strong. I want you to know that I'm strong." Right? God used somebody who didn't think he could do anything. Anybody, without raising your hand, anybody in that same boat today? "Oh, God can't use me." Oh, but yes, he can. Oh, but yes, he can. Peter, remember Peter? He said, "Jesus, is that you out there walking on the water? That seems kind of fun. Tell me to do the same thing." And Jesus is like, "Okay, Peter, come on out here." Peter stepped over the edge of the boat and onto the water. When that happens for you and me, we go all the rest of the way, don't we? But Peter, evidently there was something substantial there in the water. It's a miracle. It's supernatural. Those are the things that Jesus does. And you know what? I think it's high time that God does supernatural things through his church. Through this church. Let's believe him for it. Let's believe him for it. Let's look now. Let's look now at Paul in the New Testament. We give Paul a lot of credit because Paul wrote like 2/3 of the New Testament. He planted all kinds of churches. Paul did some. God used Paul to do amazing things. And so really, anytime we're interested in doctrine, we go and look at something that Paul said, right? But look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 15:9. Excuse me. Paul writes to one of those churches and he says, "Hey guys, I'm the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church." Do you know that Paul was extremely involved in shutting down Christianity? He was extremely involved in that, giving the nod. Yeah, they deserve to die. Giving that nod and going. Matter of fact, when he met Jesus, he was on his way to Damascus to do that very same thing and arrest some other believers. And he tried to quench it. He tried to shut them up. But guess what? You can't shut up the gospel. So, church, don't let it be shut up in you. That's not just me. That's you. That's us corporately. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to use us, to speak through us, and to impact lives around us. Amen? God used Paul to preach the gospel, to win souls, to make disciples, to heal bodies, to see that people were delivered from evil spirits. He used Paul to raise up spiritual leaders. And he used Paul to plant churches. The guy who used to persecute the church. I ask you this morning, how will you allow God to use you? How will you allow God to use you? I would recommend that you don't say, "God, I'm willing to do this or this." You know, it's kind of like the house cleaner. It's kind of like you hiring a house cleaner that says, "Yeah, I'll come and clean your house, except I don't vacuum carpets and I don't clean windows." Right? You're going to say, "Thanks for your time." We can't say, "Okay, God, I'll do this or this." We say, "God, here I am. I'm available to you." Right? And really, church, that's the only response. It's the only right response is to say, yeah, here I am, God. Here I am. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. No, today is not Pentecost Sunday. Jesus told his disciples, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you and through you. He wants to make Jesus known everywhere. To anybody. To everybody. And I know that some of you get this, but I'm wanting to help you to understand that it's each one of our responsibilities. You know, if we could go back over here to this on the wall, each one of us should be reaching another one. Each one of us should be reaching one more. And we're going to do that one at a time. Praise God. It's exciting. And so we want to begin to trust in the Holy Spirit to do those incredible things and allow God to use us and allow God to speak to us. And so I'm reminded that Peter, remember Peter and John, this is out of Acts chapter 3, if you're interested in going back and looking at it. Peter and John, they were on their way to church. They were on their way to the temple, and there was this lame guy there, and he was laying down on a mat, and he was begging for some money. And so, you know, Peter made the mistake of making eye contact. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just kind of like with the teacher in class, when the teacher says, does anybody know the answer? And you make eye contact with the teacher, and you're like, oh no, I hope that they don't call on me. Or when pastor needs a volunteer. But so Peter makes eye contact with this lame beggar. And so then this lame man gets a little bit excited, and he's like, hey, do you have some money that you could give to me? And Peter's like, sorry, I'm all out. But he didn't leave it there, did he? He was thinking outside the box. Or maybe he was thinking like Jesus did. And he said, I don't have any money, but what I have is way better than that. Because then you won't have to beg anymore. Not only was he then able to walk, he left his shame right there, didn't he? The shame of not being able to walk and having to beg and not being able to take care of himself. And that man leaped, he jumped up. Peter reached his hand out and said, here, come on, get up and walk. That's supernatural. Let's believe God for the supernatural in our lives and around us. Because that wasn't Peter or John. That was somebody that they didn't know. They God used them to impact somebody else's life. See the pattern? God wants to use you to impact somebody else's life. And I have another scripture that I want to share. John chapter 14, verse 12. Excuse me. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. Anybody who believes in him? You mean anybody could do this? That's what I'm trying to say. That's what Jesus was saying. That's what I'm trying to help you with this morning. Oh, but I'm not old enough. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. You are old enough to believe God for supernatural things. But I'm too old. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're just right. Because you have a whole bunch of life experience to say that God does the supernatural. That God has been faithful, right? And we can believe God for incredible supernatural things. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. which meant that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be and dwell in each of us. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to mention this as well. God uses, matter of fact, as the worship team comes back, they can go ahead and come on back. God uses the available and the yielded. He's not waiting for the gifted to be able to use the gifted. Do you realize that? He's not just waiting for the few that are gifted to come and be used, for God to use them. He's simply waiting for you and me to be available and yielded to him, so he can put his Spirit in us, so that he can anoint us, so that he can fill us, so that he can speak through us and into the lives of others. Can I ask you to bow your hearts? Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you want to begin that relationship with him. If you're at home, all you need to do is bow your heart. Maybe you can get on your knees and ask Jesus to come into your life and to forgive you. It's just really that simple. But you're here this morning, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you want to begin one. I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand so that I can see it. Yes, Pastor, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. I need him to forgive me, and I want to step into a relationship with him. Okay. Maybe the Holy Spirit has pricked your heart this morning and is tugging on you and saying, "See, I've been telling you I want to use you." And this morning you're beginning to realize that God can use you. And you want to step out and say, "God, yeah, I want to be available to you to speak to my friends, to maybe speak to my neighbors, or even to speak to strangers about the love of Jesus. I want to be the kind of person, God, who's bold enough to say, 'Oh, you need prayer? Yeah, I'll pray. You need that? I'll pray, and I'll believe God for you.'" For Jesus, you want to be the kind of person that Jesus is going to do greater works through by the power of his Holy Spirit. If that's you, raise your hand. Yeah, I want, yeah. Lord, use me. Yeah. Lord, do things through me. Make yourself famous through me. Yeah. There's a number of hands. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and be bold this morning and step out. Because listen, if you can't step out in here, you're not going to do it out there. That's just really kind of basic. So as the worship team's going to lead us, if you want the Lord to begin to use you, come up down to the front and pray and seek God, asking him to help you with it, asking him to lead you and to guide you. Meet me up in the front.
Majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All